Hello, you guys. Welcome to episode 37. So today is April 15 of 2020. I already recorded a very small episode on my way to work because you're on my Bluetooth. Again, I just record with an app, so I have wireless Bluetooth in my car, so I'm able to record. And right now I'm leaving a work site. Yes, I know. It's late. You don't know what it's like because when you listen to it, but it's 11 p.m. here in California, up in South Bay. But anyways, today I am going to, with this episode, I had mentioned before, like two episodes ago, that I wanted to express to you guys and how I felt about my car crash because I was in a car crash. So this episode is going to be just about my car crash, what I went through, what I'm going through, certain legal things and how you could protect yourself, things I would have done wrong. And this could help with how to potentially get rid of trauma, how to deal with it. I know we all deal with things differently, but sometimes when an individual goes through certain things, they don't talk about it. And I can understand it can be hard at times. So this episode is just going to be dedicated to that. I'm going to give you maybe an hour because with my recording, the app I use, I can only record an hour, but it's going to be a pretty lengthy episode. So let's get started. My car crash happened on Thanksgiving last year, which was November 28th of 2019. It was in the morning. I was on my way to work. I had decided to come in and help a little bit with my side job up here in the Bay, and it was in the morning. It had been raining, and I would always, after my car crash, I haven't taken this back road. Give me a second. I need to drink some water. I know it's weird to tell you guys every little thing I do, but since I don't edit or anything, there's going to be a pause, so that's why I let you know that I'm going to drink some water. And I haven't spoken so long in a very long time. As you know, I haven't recorded in a while. So I was on my way to work, and I take this back road that has a very bad, you know, road conditions. So, and it would always happen to me that I would, you know, the car would move kind of crazy and stuff like that when I was in that back road. So it was nothing new. I've taken it forever. It's kind of like a shortcut, obviously, to get to part of the freeway. I don't have to take it directly from where I am at. But, so all of a sudden, I feel my Jeep. I had a Jeep that was gifted to me from my mom. 2018 Jeep Cherokee. Got it new. Not even used. She had used it a bit, and then she gifted it to me. That sounds weird, but that's another story. So I just felt my car kind of slip to the right and kind of go down the pavement. So obviously when something like that happens, or you feel your car kind of get, you're driving, and, you know, you just steer your wheel back and you keep on driving. So I did exactly that, okay, within like a second. I didn't even have time to think about it. But when I put my steering wheel to the left to kind of get back on the road, I just felt my car instantly just, the front of the Jeep went to the right, and I instantly flipped over. That's how I felt, okay? I'm going to tell you why I say I felt later on in the episode. I knew where I was at. In my head, I'm just like flipping over. Thankfully, yes, I had my car seat. Oh my god, how embarrassing. My seatbelt. And my car ended. Again, I knew where I was at. I knew I was close to kind of like a power plant looking thing. I don't know exactly what it was, but I knew there was a tower. You know those big towers that have voltage and say danger not to get near it because you could get burned, hurt? I was like, oh my god, I'm going to pass this. I'm going to hit it. Anyways, I ended up with my car ended up on the rooftop, my Jeep. Okay, and I smelled smoke. I was like, oh my god, I just need to get myself out there. It was going through my head. I know I screamed as my car was flipping over. I don't know how it happened so fast. Within seconds, I was, and then it had been raining. It wasn't raining during the accident, but it had been raining. And it was kind of like the first, like, days it had been raining because it hadn't rained in a while. So that, the gravel on the side off the road, there was a bunch of mud, obviously. None of that helped. I was more than shocked. Because, again, that happens sometimes. You know, you go to the side of the road and, oh, oops, you know, you just get back on, stuff like that. When, you know, those of us who have taken back roads and have, you know, it's screwed up. You know, sometimes they're screwed up and they have potholes, this and that. So, anyways, I don't know. I don't even know how I didn't lose consciousness. As far as I'm concerned, I was fully, you know, I didn't faint or anything. But I took off my seatbelt. I don't even know if I put, I swear that I put maybe my hand, and then I was able to kind of like not just drop, but I don't even remember that part. I was just, I need to get myself out, and then in my head, I'm just thinking, oh my God, what if the door doesn't really open? So I kind of went to the other side, because my door was kind of like screwed up, obviously. The airbags, again, I could smell the smoke. I smelled smoke, and I didn't know, obviously, what was in the outside of my car. It could, like, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I could have caught fire, I could catch on fire, you need to get out. And I'm like, I just hope, I don't even know if anybody had seen me. So I come to the passenger side, obviously, and I open the door, and it kind of like, because it was kind of like wiggy, so I could start, kind of kicked it open a bit as well after I opened it, and there was already somebody there, a woman in scrubs. I pushed it halfways, and she opened it, and she took me out. She helped me out, and apparently she had seen the whole thing. Apparently there was some other person there, a younger lady, and this girl was this lady who helped me with the scrubs was already on the phone with 911. And we just waited there. We waited for a bit. I didn't even feel scared or anything. I was just happy I was out. I felt perfectly fine. My boob hurted a bit, and I had a. It's funny because I had a similar bra that I have on right now that it clips in the front. You know, it doesn't clip in the back. So the middle part, I think it had just like broken or something. So like it was just out, and they called her back just to let her know if I was breathing this. And I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even ask for her name or anything. I could swear her name was Maria, because by the time somebody had came and she had told me, oh, I'm on my way to work. I work here at the ER in the hospital. So the firemen got here and they checked me. Obviously, nothing was wrong with me. There was nothing physical outside that you could see externally on me. So obviously, I told them, you know, I denied services. To take me to the ambulance, take me to the ER, because I had seen that I was fine. And then I don't have medical insurance, because obviously, yes, my car had full coverage insurance. And I'm just like, okay, this ambulance ride, if you didn't know, the ambulance ride is like $4,000 or $5,000 just to take you. Okay, just to take you. And I'm like, and they did tell me, they didn't tell me that, obviously, but they said, you know, there's nothing really wrong with you. You could choose to go to the ER with us, or you could go later. You know, someone could take you. And I was like, you know what? I'll just have my mom take me. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing. I had bruising. I already had bruising. I had bit my tongue. I had seen a little bit of, it was just red at the time. And I told them that my side boob hurted, and, you know, and I kind of felt my right hip a bit, but not really. I called my mom. My mom had just gotten up, and she's like, what do you mean you flipped over, this and that? And I told her by where I was at, and I hanged up. And by that time, there was already for sure one officer that had showed up, a CHP. He's like, and he was kind of rude about it. Ma'am, get off the phone. Get off the phone. I need to talk with you. And I'm like, okay. In my head, I didn't argue, obviously. I didn't get off the phone. I told my mom where I was at, and I'm like, Mom, I have to get off the phone. They told, you know, the officer's here, I need to talk to him. And I don't even remember what he asked me at that time, but I just signed that I refused to be taken in the ambulance. And then he took me, he's like, oh, let's go to my car, it's warmer in there. I had it refused, and so the ambulance ended up leaving. Eventually, obviously, I'm pretty sure they were there for a while, and I was just in the back. One of the firemen, I'm sorry, they were there, I think, primarily. Yeah, they were there first. They always are, I'm sorry. And one of the guys, he knew the ER nurse. He's like, I could swear her name was Maria. He's like, hey, they kind of talked, how you doing? And then he's like, oh, you know, I could swear maybe she had been in another incident and she called and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm sure they know each other, obviously, from her being in the ER and them being individuals, you know, in a similar field. So, I don't even know when she left. That's the first thing I should have maybe done, gotten her number. And, you know, I hugged her. I did hug her. Thank you. And I would, for a while, I was just silent. You know, I didn't say anything. I was just waiting. And the other girl, I didn't even get her name as well. We were there. So, they ended up leaving. I was in back of the CHP's car, and he's just, okay, we just need to go over what it went. And I told them, I just found my car, slipped to the right, got off the gravel, and as soon as I started my road to get back on the, you know, on the road, I and he kind of lightly put words in my mouth, he's like ice, and I'm like, yeah, because that's how fast it happened. I was like, instantly, I didn't even have control. He's like, oh, you lost control. I was like, I didn't even have control at that point. In seconds, I just flipped. You know, it just happened so quickly. I don't even know how it happened. Anyways, I see my mom and my mom's car go by, and she kind of goes, the car, the CHP officer was kind of in the back, and there was, I went pretty far. She kind of got close to the Jeep. She parked, obviously, on the side. My sister, my second youngest sister, got off as well. They both went, and she kind of comes to the car, and I'm in the back, and she's like, where's my daughter? She's like, oh, she's right here. I was like, oh, I want to see her. And he opened the window, and I was there. I was fine. One of the firemen had taken out, I had a bag with. They're like, oh, is there anything you want from here? And then I go, and I'm like, my phone, I need my phone. That was obviously before the CHP got there, but got my phone. And while I was in the ambulance, one of the guys, they were looking through inside my Jeep, and they took out, I have my bag, you know, a bag with my laptop and stuff like that, and work stuff that I do for my side business. And he's like, you might want this. And I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, because you don't know where you're going to the car. And in my head, I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, give it to me. But it was obvious that the car wasn't going to really go to my house, there's this stupid car going super fast with this alter shit. I swear there's like 3-4 different cars in front of him that are like similar. So anyways, he's already far. I just kind of stopped because obviously they were making noise. So anyways, in my head, it's so funny because I had felt, in my head, it was kind of like, oh, like, yeah, sure, whatever. But it's so weird because I think I could almost, I probably felt in my head like, oh yeah, this, my car. Oh my god, so funny. It's a bunch of little chargers. What the fuck are they going to do? Are they going to race or something? I need to get this recorded. They're like stopping. I swear they're going to race. Oh my god. They're getting together in a line. What the fuck are they doing? They are. They're racing. There's four different... I've never seen this on the freeway. They literally, do you hear that? It's a bunch of stupid Mustangs and Chargers. There goes another one. So four, I know I'm going off topic, but oh my god, there goes another one. They stopped traffic. They got in the four lanes in a line, and I was literally stopped for like a few seconds, and then they started. Oh my god. Probably a bunch of Mexicans. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. This is funny. Honestly, sometimes it looks stupid when they're like chasing each other. But anyways, I'm just gonna wait. They're still in front of me. I'm gonna play this off a bit. Oh my god, they're fucking stopping again? Are they really stopping again? I can't even record this. Well, recording it verbally, but I can't do this shit on the freeway. Oh my god, I'm trapped in between. There's some in the back, there's some in the front. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in front of me. Oh my god, they're speeding up again. Oh my god, this is hilarious. Oh my god. Anyways, I totally lost what I was saying. They're still going at it over there in the front. Okay, I'm like close to 80, and they're like way in front of me now. There's one in the back. Well, there's like one or two I can see in the back. I can see the lights. I can see the charger's lights. I wonder if he's over here, if he's the one monitoring in back of me. He's already gonna pass me. Oh my god. Well, anyways. Oh, how funny, this one. You can't even see his license plate. Oh my god, I could swear they're stopping again. So this one, the one that I said was in the back of me, I can't even see his license plate. He has like a black shit. It's not even like a license plate. Oh my god, they're going at it. It seems like they're stopping again. Oh my god. Honestly, I wish I had a dash camera. Dashboard camera. Oh, these other two ones that we're racing do have. What? Oh my god, so there's another car that's not even a little white random ass car that I guess wanted to race them. Oh. And he just took off. The other car that was a little white whatever car, I don't even know what kind of car it is. That's how old it is. I can't even recognize it. So now there's two. Oh, wow. What, I guess it's down to two? These two are the last ones? Oh, my God. Okay, and then I see them stopping in the front. This is, I don't know how long this is going to go on for. So anyways, until I catch up to them, because I kind of see them in the front. It's funny because in my head, I was thinking like, yeah, sure, whatever, I need my thing. But I could, I my car was still with me. Like, I didn't, like, it didn't really 100% hit me. Like, your car is going to go to either a junkyard, this. At that point, I didn't even know it was totaled. That wasn't going through my head. I was like, yeah, someone's going to pick it up. And we can maybe take it to my house. And then later on, somebody could come. Wherever I'm going to take it to get fixed, we could, you know, take it there. Well, anyways. So, what the officer tried to do, and I noticed that right away, thankfully, even though I wasn't in my senses, I noticed right away, he's like, I was just in the back, and I was going through my phone, you know, just, I had to contact work, that I wasn't, you know, I had to contact somebody that I wasn't gonna go in, obviously, and I had been scheduled for the next 2 weeks to do a side project. A side little project that I was doing, and the next day even, which was Friday, and I contacted a few people. I let them know what had happened kind of right away, because it sounds weird, but I think that's a certain thing that you need to do right away. Talk about it. Don't let the fear sink in. I think most people let it, at least their loved ones know. Obviously, my mom was the first one. I told a few of my friends, I think, right away. And so the CHP officer just randomly, he's like, you know, yeah, sometimes, you know, we're on our phones and we're discharging, we don't know. And I'm like, oh, I didn't say anything, but he really was trying to get me to be like, oh yeah, if I could say something so he could put in his fucking report. Oh yeah, she was probably on her phone. First of all, no, I wasn't. Too, my GPS knew I have Bluetooth. I don't do shit like that. I drive a new car. I'm not gonna, okay. I kind of caught on to some of them. This car that I had mentioned that was in the back is still in the back. How funny. He's still in the back. Sorry, I was kind of... I'm getting my allergies on the top of my throat. And it's itchy. Sometimes the way I scratch it with my tongue. And okay, he's already... Okay, now there's this other Mustang that he's staying behind. I don't even know if he's part of the group. I'm sure he is. I think they're done. anyways, right away I noticed what he was trying to do. So anyways, we stayed there for a pretty long time. My mom was like, he's like, get your policy number. I didn't even know where I have my policy. He obviously asked for my, anyways, I was able to get my policy. I had it from another email because either stupid me didn't have it in my car or either I couldn't find it. Obviously, everything was fucking all over the place. Oh, I think they're racing in the front now. I'm going two behind. Okay, now there's one with his, I can swear it's one of the chargers. He has his emergency lights on and he's going at it. So what does that mean? Oh, and then what? Some of them are stopping now. Never mind. I don't know why they were stopping. I thought they were going to get in the four shit again and start going at it. Okay, wait. Something's happening. They're kind of stopping traffic. Oh, yeah. They're starting again. So I guess there's like two or three of them now. Or maybe four. I can see the ones on the third. The three other lanes. This is the funniest shit. I've seen them kind of chase each other sometimes, and you can tell they're kind of racing, and they're like, rrr. They look like like cats and mice and rats or whatever chasing, just running. But I've never seen it like this on the freeway. Never. So back to what I was saying. We stayed there. My mom's like, I was still inside the car. I was inside the car for a while. I didn't get out for a while. Get out of the CHPs, and I hear my mom talking with the CHP officer. It was some white-looking guy. I think he was maybe Russian or something because he has, like, a weird last name. Anyways, a white-looking guy. And I just hear him say, oh, no, mom, that car's going to the junkyard. That car's totaled. It's totaled. And I'm like, I was just, you know, in there. It was warm. And something else that she said, oh, what's going to happen? They could just take it to my house. And he's like, oh, no, then the insurance is going to charge you. We already called somebody. You know, the insurance would take care of it. If you end up leaving it at your home, and then when you have to take it back to the junkyard, you know, now that's going to be covered by the insurance. If you do all of that, so just let the person come. They're going to clean up. They're going to get the car. They're going to take it to the junkyard, and then you deal with it with your insurance. And anything like any fees or anything like that, obviously the insurance will take care of it. So that's something that, you know, it's not always known unless you're in a bad accident, obviously. Not all accidents end up like that. Some obviously end up worse. I was just so happy that nothing happened to me. And after that, I started seeing my bruises, my right boob. Basically, it was all consistent with my seatbelt. Wherever your seatbelt is at, wherever it's at, that's where I had a bruise. My bruises ended up turning black. So long story short, I was fine. I went home. You know, I hadn't synced in because I didn't cry anything or stuff like that. My bruises, yes, ended up turning black. My tongue screwed up. And it started hurting more. I think they're racing again, two little cars. So anyways, my mom was like, yeah, let me take you to the ER. So I was like, okay, let me just go. I hope I don't have internal bleeding or anything. Boom. Obviously, that just the ER visit is like $5,000+. I called my insurance. I went to the ER. Obviously, they took me in right away. They checked me. They did x-rays. Nothing broken, stuff like that. They're like, okay, the bruises are going to be bad for the next 3-4 days, and then they're going to fade away. They were right. And me, I don't let nothing. If I was fine, nothing was hurt, I was gonna go to work the next day, and my mom's like, you're sure? My mom, and I'm like, yeah, I was fine. I'm not gonna let this shit sink in. I'm not gonna let it stop me. And I felt fine. So obviously I was a little sensitive. My mom's timing with certain work that she had to do in a different store, because my mom is a store manager for a big nonprofit. And it kind of was perfect. She's like, oh, you can go to work with me, and it's kind of halfway, and then you can leave. And it was perfect the way her schedule was with, you know, the hours that I had been working with that side with that project. So that day, we drove halfway, and I ended up driving to work halfway because obviously she drove to her work. And I felt that I couldn't even move my neck. It hurted. It hurted like soreness, that type of hurt. And I haven't told nobody this, but on my way to work, like, I was crying. I cried a bit. I was very emotional, you know. I felt stress, obviously, but you know what? If I didn't do that, if I hadn't have done that, I just did it once. After that, I think I drove maybe once or twice for 2 weeks. It was kind of, it was difficult. All of a sudden, you don't have your car. And now I don't have thousands to just go get a new one. And then two, I mean, yeah, getting a new car is just a 2, 3 grand or whatever of a down payment, maybe none. But at that point, I didn't know if my car was total. I didn't know what was gonna happen. It was during a holiday, you know, and not just during a holiday, during the holidays that everybody's like out, doing, you know, out of work. They've already decided to take, obviously, Thanksgiving off, this and that. It was emotional. It was, but I was perfectly fine. I got safe. I drove, obviously, like, speed limit. It's super careful, obviously, and got to work, and I came back. I didn't tell my mom that. I just told her that I got back and forth, you know. It was a little stressful, but when I was done, I went back to my mom's work, and we went home. And so for the next 2 weeks, for the next week after that, I had to work close to the whole week. Waiting for the call from the insurance. So let me just tell you for what I did for. So in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna do these first 2 weeks, and then take the whole rest off, and not, you know, go for that side. Whatever I could do for my business, I could do at home. Period. And I'm like, I've did. I already have them said that I told them I was gonna be there for 2 weeks, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take the holidays off. Mid-December, I'm gonna be done. I won't go back till like. First week, maybe second week of January. Okay, so the week, there's only one bus that goes from my town to, and thankfully it kind of coordinated well with, yeah, I got to work way earlier and I had to get up super early. So anyways, I would get up at 4 something in the morning, no, like 5 something, I'm sorry, because the public bus left at 5:50 a.m. from my town and didn't get to San Jose downtown station till like 8 something, and then I had to work like at 9 something. And then by 7 p.m. I had to be back in the San Jose downtown station before that, because at 7 p.m. the bus left from that station to my home, and I didn't get to my house till my wait. Yes, I didn't get to my station till 9 p.m. and then do it again the next day. So the second week, I was like, no, I'm gonna rent a small Airbnb and I'll just Uber. I can't be, you know, I just can't, I don't want to do this. So I ended up doing that. I took the bus one day and then I took my Uber or Lyft or whatever to from the Airbnb. 1 or 2 days, there was somebody that lived close by and they gave me a ride, which I was grateful for. And I'm grateful that I have the resources that I was able to get my, you know, because Uber and Lyft ride sharing can be expensive at times. It is. It's gotten a little pricey. And obviously, Airbnbs are not always cheap. This one was a pretty decently priced one. I was able to find one close to work. And then I obviously went back and forth. They were pretty fast to get back to me, but I ended up going to get my stuff a few days later. Something that I have to mention. The little details are not all that, but something that I have to mention is my stupid insurance. The stupid lady would hardly want to talk to me. I spoke to my adjuster, and then there was somebody else. Her name was her dis her. She was disgusting. I stopped to complain about her. Her name was Michelle. She gave me the estimate. Long story short, she called me, blah blah. She's like, oh, we're gonna guide you through the process. Anyways, when I tried to contact her, she didn't want to talk to me. She just wanted my mother to sign off the card to them so they could pay it because they had considered it totaled. by the time, and so the estimate, obviously, there was still a loan from the car. Long story short, the estimate ended up going, I didn't sign the papers till like a month, because I'm like, I have more rights. There has to be more rights that I have than just to my mom sign over the car and be like, yeah, whatever. So anyways, I couldn't really fight them. Somebody helped me with little research, and I did little research, and there was only maybe 1 or 2 thousand more that I could have gotten. But I was just so exhausted. I tried to talk to her. She wouldn't really talk to me. Anytime she would talk to me, it was just like, oh yeah, like, when are you going to sign up, this and that. She wanted to stay close to nothing to me. They don't even want to give you the simple right of being able to negotiate. She didn't. The least she wanted to talk to me, just sign over the shit, just get it over with. Because obviously I had full coverage, yeah, and they don't really have to give me more. I could try to fight it, yes, but I didn't have the strength to do that. So a month later, I had talking to a lawyer, and basically another lawyer was like, well, so-and-so shouldn't have talked to you about anything of the card. None of that is, you know, the car's not yours. You can't find nothing of the car. So, yeah, they said, my mom and I lived in the same place. We ended up just signing over them so they could pay the loan. There's still like $3,000 or $4,000 on the loan that obviously I have to pay. And that's all they did. They don't give a shit. They closed my claim. And it was hard for me to do, but I needed to know that on my part I did what I could to be able to at least try to get more for my insurance. They acted very hostile. They really did. It was Mercury Insurance. That's what I get from having like a simple whatever insurance. But hey, they paid off most of the car. Obviously, I had full coverage. Anybody was shocked? No, if you have full coverage, they should get you, you know, equivalent to what you lost. And I'm like, well, there was a loan. Honestly, even if there was more something I could have fought, they didn't care. And I had exhausted myself from fighting, you know, not really having resources, not even being able to speak to them. If there was more I could have gotten out of them, I didn't. I wasn't able to right now. So something my friend told me about a lawyer, and I'm going to try to make this short because I'm already at 32. So I contacted a few people. I tried to get a few people to talk to me, but basically since I was severely injured, not anybody wanted to be like, oh yeah, but no, I only deal with injuries. You know, I didn't have anything broken, thankfully, so they don't want to deal with me. Obviously, it's not easy for them. It's very easy when somebody has broken bones and you can fight people, right? There's way proof that the person got hurt. One of the lawyers spoke to me, and he was like, my friend had given me his... He's like, oh, he doesn't... If he could take on a case and he doesn't... They don't... You know, if he doesn't charge you until you actually win, you know. I'm okay, I contact him and he said no, but he's like, you know what? Okay, I forgot to mention this. When I got out of the CHP car, when I was fine to get out, and I'm like, he was talking with my mom and there was another officer in the back, like a second officer. It wasn't the responding officer, so clearly whatever he said, I didn't really know this. Whatever he said to me doesn't matter because he's not a responding officer. Could you believe it? Anyways, I went to him, I'm like, okay, where did I start? Do you know where I start? How did it happen? And he's like, you hit this pothole. His exact words. He's like, you hit this pothole, and then there was tire tracks. There was marks. And then you could see there was big, like, not grass, but big weeds or something on the side of the road. And you could see where they were bended. And obviously, you could see the trail where I ended up. Okay, remember I had told you about a voltage? Thing that I didn't hit it, but I went right by it. I went right by it, and there was a middle pole, a very small pole. I went in the middle of those, because obviously, I didn't hit that small little pole, it would have probably stopped my car. I still went pretty far over there. Oh, there was a big ass rock. I ended up hitting the rock, and then I tumbled down a little bit more, and then I ended up on my from what we've seen, and there was like damage to a fence, obviously, and that was, you know, that showed. So my front, thankfully, my front, since it wasn't like kind of like head on, you know, I kind of flipped over, and then I kind of when I felt I rolled over, it was kind of like on my side. It was just the side bags that flipped over, that exploded, and that's what I was smelling. That was what I was smelling. That when I had told you, I was like, oh my god, I smell smoke. What was that? Thankfully, the front one didn't explode. I don't know what the hell you call it. It didn't come out. I forgot what you call it. My mom says, you know what? That would have maybe burned your face. You know, the smoke of it would have probably burned your face. And my glass, thankfully, it was broken, but it didn't really, like, come off. So it didn't hit me. But if that would have happened, I knew I would have covered my face. I was fully, even though I was screaming and stuff like that, I was fully aware. And I just, what was going on, I knew I didn't let go of my wheel. Like, because I kind of still felt that was the only control I could keep. Keeping my two hands on my steering wheel. That was, and I felt I did it to kind of keep a small amount of control. Because I knew I lost total control. And I felt that, you know, I wasn't going to just let go. Obviously, since I didn't feel nothing coming towards me, I didn't let go of it. But I'm like, no, like, this is the only full control you're going to have. And I'm going to keep it. So, oh, excuse me getting emotional, but when I was telling my mom that, like, I started crying because I told her that the only thing that was going through my head was when I was younger, my mom, we were driving kind of like a field road, and she kind of slipped off the road as well, but that road had like a big old like gap, and we did flip over like just once, but I remember being on the back and getting my sister out the back. She had a 4Runner, and the back had like the thing would go down. Anyways, it's not about that, but I just told her, I was like, I could just remember, and I didn't even say anything. I just started crying, and she knew what I was talking about. And the cop was there, and she's like, oh, when she was younger, we flipped over. I was like 6, 7 maybe. My sister was there too. She was young. She doesn't remember. My mom and her friend. And I started crying. So anyways, I was like, oh my god. So I took a lot of footage, and my stupid self, I didn't take super proof footage of the, I thought I did, of the pothole. Anyways, long story short, the CHP officer didn't put, when I went to the CHP office to pick up my police report, the cop ended up leaving. We didn't leave until everything of my Jeep was picked up and stuff like that. Any small thing was picked up, and that's when we ended up leaving. The cop left, and then like 10 minutes later, he left. He obviously left when it was close to done. He was just doing finishing touches, picking up everything. The guy that came from the tow truck. And long story short, the CHP officer did not notice nothing of a pothole. He made it sound very easy, like if I just decided to go off the road and keep on driving and then went up something and then just flipped over. That was not what I said. So anyways, I found a small a law firm in LA that was willing to go back and forth with me and guide me. And going back to the officer that, the lawyer that had said no to my claim that my friend had referred me to, he's like, you have 6 months to file a claim with the city. So go and make sure, get the CHP report. Hopefully the pothole was notated and you can fight the city. You know, at that point, you know, you have medical coverage. I had medical coverage in my policy, but apparently there's different wordings for different medical coverage. Maybe you know that. I didn't know that. So they said, oh, since nobody else was involved, you're not covered for that. I'm like, what? Yeah, so they didn't pay. They're not paying my medical bills. I'm going to file a tort claim with the city. I have 6 months for that. So May 28th, that's when my time expires. But I'm gonna submit it as soon as I can. I told the CHP officer, and it's funny because when I read it, I didn't read. I was only looking for a pothole, and then I had told the. At that point, I was still kind of looking for lawyers when I looked for the person. So, I who knows later on time passed, and I read that he made it sound so like so easy, like, oh yeah, she just went off the road and she did this, blah blah. He made it sound so like if it was, and I'm like, what? He didn't even mention that I flipped over multiple times, this and that. So, anyways, when I had already established a second lawyer, because the first one claimed, you know, the second one claimed that the first one shouldn't have talked to me nothing about what happened with the car because the Jeep wasn't under my name. She's like, okay, amend the report, amend the CHP report, and then, you know, tell them that your stuff put in there, you know, amend the report and say that they didn't include this and that. But the report has close to none of the words that I said when the officer asked me. So long story short, I called the CHP and I'm like, can I amend the report? I still asked the police report because this and this and that. He's like, yeah, absolutely. Just bring in a statement of what you want to amend. Thankfully, I had pictures. So I took an amendment. I typed up an amendment. I took pictures. And I'm like, okay, I clearly hit something in the road. I typed up, you know, nicely. I hit something in the road. My front right tire is heavily twisted. I clearly hit something, and that's what made me flip over. I was like, and I put that I flipped over immediately, and I flipped over multiple times. So the officer was like, oh, so they send the supplemental report. It took forever. They don't keep in contact with you. If you don't contact back, if you don't are on them, they don't give a shit. So I emailed the guy because I didn't want to call in. He's like, he emailed the, because they gave me, when I dropped it off. Oh, and a second thing, the CHP officer told me like two other times over there in the front lobby, well, the outcome's not going to change. I was like, well, you know what? There's some stuff in there that I said, and it's not there, you know, and I want it there. He's like, okay, blah, blah. They still try to like, discourage you from fighting. So, long story short, the supplemental report came in. I picked it up like a week or two ago. So nothing has changed. The CHP officer said, well, she said her tire was heavily twisted, and that's from when she hit basically that rock, when she embarked somewhere. Why is it just one? She's like, oh, and she also claimed that she flipped over immediately. She's like, no, there was tire trucks. There was tire marks. And you know what? Yes, there was. I was going like 40. It was a back road. I wasn't going 25. It was nothing. It's not a... You know, I was going pretty fast. I could have gone fast and then flipped over. Okay, I get that. But there's no way I just, you know, he made, like, flipped over, like, once. He made it sound like, oh, yeah, she just went off the road and she went up something and then flipped over. Okay, I'm driving. You're driving. And if you're driving my Jeep, the way my Jeep ended up flipping over, I was on my back. And the front, if you're looking at it, you're driving, you see a car, it's in front of you, it's flipped over. It was like kind of like sideways, kind of like, you would think that maybe if I just flipped over maybe once or twice, wouldn't the front of my car maybe still be facing the front? No, it wasn't. It was kind of like at a parallel kind of type of way, you know? Like that did not happen. Okay, like yes, I do remember seeing the tire trucks, but he still nothing's unchanged, so it still sounds like do you think that if I would go to the side of the road I would have kept on driving? No, I kinda like it that pothole that I hit twisted. That's why the front of my car went to the right, and I probably did go like that. I was probably still on my fours, and then I flipped over, like, a few times. You know, it doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense to me. I still don't understand how you could kind of slip, and then I go to the side of the road, and all of a sudden, I freaking end up all you know, crazy, pretty freaking far. Anyways, obviously, he didn't want to notate the butthole. I called back the lawyer. She's like, yeah, you can still try. You can still submit your report. But obviously, you had bodily injury. You had medical bills. Submit it. Obviously, yes, it's not good that the police report is against you, but you can still try. They obviously could just say no. So I have pictures. And she said, you know what? It's not a lose-or-lose. They could try to go against you and sue you and say, oh, yeah, she tried to file a false claim, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm going to do my part. My dad works in paving, and I told him, Dad, like, isn't there laws? Aren't they supposed, you know, come on, like, should they keep the roads like that? He's like, you know what? If you hit a pothole, you have a case. Obviously, that is why the stupid CHP officer didn't notate this and didn't want to notate it. Because my dad's like, they're supposed to maintain the roads, period. He's like, if you hit a pothole, you have a case. This is why he didn't want to notate it. They cover their own fucking ass all the fucking time. Like, and even if I lose, I still, you know what? The odds are, could always be against you, obviously. And then in my town, the freaking law enforcement people who have authority, don't give a shit about people like me. They don't. They fucking don't. You should have seen, literally, every time I went into that lobby to even ask a question or this or that, or call, oh, well, the officer followed the law. The outcome's not going to change. And the lawyer was like, yeah, the outcome maybe not change, but obviously they have to include, you know, your wording at least, you know, what you said happened. He wasn't fucking there, but clearly he has authority. Oh, a second thing that he put in his supplemental report was like, was there a witness? Yes, there fucking was. There was. The person who called the cops. So you know what I want to do? And I also mentioned this to a lawyer. She's like, you know what? Contact so-and-so. And you have, you know, and tell him that you're kind of worried because he put this and that. And you're, you know, obviously, he's like, there wasn't. And you know what I'm going to do? I also told her, I had been thinking about this. I want to go and look for her. I don't think I can right now because of the COVID-19. But I can at least call. Well, anyways, I told her, can I get the transcript of the call? I don't know what it's called. And she gave me the wording, what it's called for the 911 call. She's like, yeah, go and ask for it. Because obviously there was a 911 call. And if they say no, I'll contact her back and I'll let you guys know what happened. So you have 6 months to file a claim with the city there does have to be proof. So when you're in a bad accident, so you make sure that you look around, you look at your surroundings, you take video, not just for the insurance, but for yourself, of everything around, your car, close-ups, back, you know, other from the back. From a different view. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. And I did do that. You make sure you do that. Okay? You react. Don't let it sink in. I know sometimes, obviously, you can't. But you know what? If something would have happened to me, I would have at least been like, can you do this for me? Blah, blah, or something. I know to react. And you know what? When I was inside that car, flipped over, somebody would have probably very freaked out. And not going out right away, man. I don't know. Some people are like that, but don't let anything in a bad situation, even a moment, sink in. Cause later on, look at all these bills. I'm still going through this, going back and forth with the lawyer. Somebody was willing to help me, to guide me. Again, you have 6 months from the day that happened. They have to have it. It's, you know, within 6 months. 6 months, and you don't have to submit it within a month or two. You know what the lawyer had told me, and I'm gonna ask her about it. She's like, if I was you, I would submit this in May. I wonder why she told me this. I wonder why. Because she probably knows that I don't know, there's probably something with timing that the city has, you know, on their point. I have to ask her. I didn't tell her, but she's like, you know what? If I was you, I would submit this in May. She's the one that told me. So whenever you're in an issue, keep stuff. Even if you're involved, especially if you're one of the first or second persons involved right away that are hurt, make sure you get your police reports. Make sure you notate stuff. At least try to get somebody to help you. And if the lawyer can help you, at least they'll tell you a few things. So that first lawyer told me about that. that had called and he denied. It's funny because he said he was going to send me something by mail and kind of and put in detail what he, kind of like what he had just told me what I could do, and he never did that. It's fine. I don't care. It's just funny. I thought he was going to send it and he didn't. So, and then if that doesn't work, I can still take him to court. I could take him to small claims court if it, I think she said if it's under $10,000. And for that, I think I have a year or two. And I guess she told me about a third different court of law that's like 2 years. So I still have time. I could still say that. And she said, you know what? The city could just be like, okay, they could just deny it for whatever reason and force you to take it to a judge, because they know sometimes people are not going to do that, and that way the judge could decide. Okay, whatever. Even other people try to tell me, no, you're not going to fight the city. You can't fight the city, blah, blah. They're going to win. You guys, and I know that. And you don't let anything discourage you. You should have, even if it takes a long time, do your due diligence. When you're in a situation, this has left me emotional. Up to a few weeks ago, and you know what? The first few weeks, going back to the first few weeks of my crash, it would replay in my head. Like, me screaming. Like, I haven't told nobody this, but I would, like, cry myself to sleep. I would cry myself to sleep because I couldn't get the sounds out of my head. I couldn't. They would just replay. Like, I didn't even have to think about it. It would just do it on its own while I was in bed. And thankfully, those hard emotions, I'm just getting them right now because I'm speaking about it and it reminds me of that. But it just, like, if I don't go into details, I haven't gotten this emotional, but since I'm going into details, obviously, it's bringing that back. But somebody had, I had mentioned it to somebody, and somebody said PTSD. I didn't even want to call it that. I just have light emotion, and I did have it for a while. Like, I was super sensitive. And going back to what I had started saying, until a few weeks ago, when I was coming home from work, it had been raining really bad, and it got very bad, and obviously, when I get, my senses are altered. It would really scare me. Like, I would feel my car. It would get me kind of nervous. It was, and then if you're not on a good paved road, I hear every little rib, like ribbed on the road. When you hear, you just hear, you know. But that little small pothole or screwed up thing in the road has all little things. It's not just one big thing. I hear it. Like, I just hear it in very detail. So, and this time that I was going, oh my God, I'm already at 52 minutes. I have to end it because it's going to kind of stop at, it's going to stop and I'm almost close by home. On my way home, and then I would feel my car move. I would feel it. I felt, you know, the conditions weren't good. I would, like, two or three times I had to hold on to my wheel so hard that my hands would hurt. My hands were hurting. That's how hard I had to hold on to it. And there's a certain place that, it's funny because this time I didn't feel it, but there's a certain small town that I go by and I would always feel like the wind. I'm like, wow, whenever I get here, I know I'm hitting this town because I feel the wind. I didn't feel that before. I'm just thankful that that's the minimal that I have. Yes, financially, it's not really bad, but I can get through this. As soon as I can to pay down a certain thing I have to do with my credit, I kind of want to wait to see if my credit goes up more. That way I get a better loan on a car. And right now we're going through a crisis, so I'm pretty sure there's more deals and people are being more lenient. But anyways, that's a different thing. It's lightly changed me. It didn't really completely change me. Okay, and somebody had asked me, I do want to say that. I did think, like, wow, this really didn't, you know, you still see life. You know, when somebody goes through something traumatic, you make a dramatic change. And I said to myself, I'm not getting those feelings. You know, I'm not getting those dramatic feelings of, oh my God, this totally changed my life, blah, blah. It did leave some residue. Like, my senses are altered. I, you know, obviously financially I have, you know, and stuff like that. But thank one, that didn't happen to me because I wasn't physically hurt and it wasn't life or death. And two, even something like that would not have changed my way of thinking. It would have maybe done it, but you know why? I've always had my shit together. I've always had my goals. Okay? Usually people who, I'm sorry, are fuck-ups and are fucking up in life and their goals and their school and their life, something like that. When they say you have to hit rock bottom and then to change, that's what it has to do. It let me set me back. It set me back. It did set me back on certain things. It only set me back a little bit. And you know what? I talked about it in my last episode about emotion and how I'm not letting this set me back any longer and how I'm going to take it full on. And any little thing that stopped, I'm taking it full on this year, and I'm just going to do it. It's going to be hard, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to end this episode right here. I'm going to have to do a part 2, obviously, in the next episode. In episode 37, I guess. I think this was 36. But I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Again, if you have any questions, again, you guys probably know this from my social media. Just DM me. If you're in the same situation and you need a little bit of guidance, I have a little bit of guidance I could give you because of what I went through. Obviously, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but just from my experience, I could probably try to help you. But because nobody, not a lot of people are willing to help you. Okay, so I'll let you guys go. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and I hope you're well. I hope this episode finds you well, this ending of this episode. Always thank you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys listening to me. Bye-bye.